You're listening to Rev Talks with host Kenneth Priest. This Southern Baptist of Texas Convention podcast focuses on church revitalization and is provided through cooperative program giving. Kenneth is joined today by Dr. Michael Wilder, Interim Dean of the Terry School of Educational Ministries and Professor of Leadership and Education at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. In this edition of Rev Talks, Dr. Wilder will be discussing what leadership within church revitalization should look like. Now here's Kenneth Priest and special guest Dr. Michael Wilder with today's edition of Rev Talks.
Good morning and welcome to our podcast. We're joined today with Dr. Michael Wilder, Dean of the Terry School of Educational Ministry and Professor of Leadership and Education, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. And the topic is leadership and church revitalization. Dr. Wilder, appreciate you being with us today. Talk to us a little bit about your passion, your vision, this issue of leadership and helping the church to turn around. What kind of vision do you have for this? How do you even see the seminary helping pastors and church leaders from your role there as the dean of this school to help them think more about leadership in revitalization?
Well, glad to be here. Thank you very much for this question. It is a significant part of who I am personally. Served in pastoral ministry for the last 30 years. The last 5.5 years have been involved in a church revitalization project, and I am passionate about seeing our churches take a right turn in order that they would be more fruitful and effective for kingdom work ultimately. From a research side and my professor side, if you will, I've been working with doctoral students over the last 3 years. We've been examining the Southern Baptist churches over the last decade and looking at the data. What we found is that 49% of our churches have been declining. As we looked at those 49% of declining churches, we said, let's find the exemplar churches. Let's find the churches who have been statistically revitalized, who've made a shift in what they're doing, and let's examine those churches. What we found out of more than 15,000 churches that were declining that had enough information, 716 of those churches have actually made that turn. About 400 of those churches are larger than 100 or larger. So there's this very small pool of churches that have made these changes, and there are a variety of components of culture that have to change, and you know that, in order for the revitalization to take place. One of those lanes, if you will, is that of leadership in the life of the church. So we've been digging in 6 different arenas, but particularly in this area of leadership, here are 3 big findings that we are already discovering in this research. First is this idea of leadership structure in the local church. So often our churches that are declining or plateaued have a skewed leadership structure, frankly. What we've particularly been finding is many of these churches have been, I can be careful how I say this, led or in some ways run by a group of deacons rather than led by the shepherds, by the pastors in the church. So as we've dug in and we've been asking these churches that have been successful in revitalization, that's been one of the significant changes these pastors have talked to us about, is needing to get a right order that's aligned with what the scripture says the church is supposed to be. Our churches are supposed to, at the end of the day, be pastor-led, deacon-served, and congregationally engaged and involved. And so these churches that are being successful are making a right adjustment to the leadership structure in the life of the church so that they're biblical. Another thing that we've been finding in our research is the leadership mindset, I think is the way I would phrase that. And it's really a shift to really Ephesians 4 model, right? So at the end of the day, our pastoral leaders need to be equipping the saints for the work of the church. And it's really a shared model approach. It's a team-based shared model. And so what we have been finding is when these pastors are sharing leadership at the pastoral level, particularly, or raising men up from within and giving them responsibility, when the church sees this shared model at the, if I can say, the pastoral level, then our small group leaders, for example, begin to take on greater sense of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then as they do that and the church sees that, what we're finding is that within the small groups themselves, these members are taking on greater responsibility to do the ministry of the church. They'll happily inform their small group leader or pastor of what they're doing, but they're not expecting someone else to go make that hospital visit. They're making that hospital visit. They're not expecting someone else to engage their neighbor with the gospel. They're making the decision to do that and invite that neighbor to, say, their small group engagement process. So leadership structure we're seeing changed. We're seeing a leadership mindset to a plurality and shared kind of model to press that through the entire church perspective. And then, of course, there's a leadership development, intentional leadership development or pipeline that's happening in these successful turnarounds. And so these pastors are saying, we've got to raise up men and women to serve this body of Christ. We've got to equip them to do that well. And we've got to have a long-term vision to make that happen. So these revitalization pastors are recognizing that for most of them to make this a transformed leadership culture or transformed discipleship culture or transformed worship culture, etc., evangelism, missions culture, prayer culture, that's going to be a 10-year project. Yeah. And they're going to have to endure this process, but they got to have a vision for what it's going to look like. So these are some of the initial findings amongst these exemplar churches that we're hitting on.
That's great. So isn't it great how research affirms the Bible? Biblical model of the New Testament since Jesus ascended and he sent the Holy Spirit. Old Testament model was the Spirit dwelled among a prophet at a time. It indwelled a prophet, and the prophet came and gave the message of God for the people of God at that time, and they were supposed to follow God. But, of course, we know in that Old Testament model, what did Israel keep doing? They kept disobeying God.
Sure.
And that's why different prophets had to come along. But then when Christ ascended and he sent the Comforter, he sent the Holy Spirit, we see there in Acts chapter 1 where this is taking place, and the Spirit comes upon or Acts chapter 2, when we get to that point of the Spirit coming upon all believers, all of a sudden we move into this shared leadership. And so it's no longer one person that has the responsibility, but it's a plurality of leaders. And and what we see happening, like you're saying, in the church, it's not some little bitty segment of a group, but it's a plurality of the shepherds coming together and shepherding the church in leadership. And it's the congregational model of moving forward with that, and the structure that takes place and deacons serving the church, which again, Acts 6, biblical model. This is what God intended.
Sure.
When he established the existence of the church, he intended for it to function this way.
Sure.
And now we kind of start getting the research in that says, hey, if we would have just been paying attention to Scripture, then this would be working. So in the leadership, you kind of give us this broad picture of these three elements, but let's get into a few specifics on the leadership of the pastor and empowering. True. You talk about this in your third point, the Acts 4 model and the empowerment that a pastor has. Now, one person quarterbacks, but we're all involved in moving the ball downfield, right? And this is how it is in church revitalization. We got to have our pastor shepherd that is leading us, but it does involve the entire congregation.
Sure.
Not just to turn a church around, but to keep a church healthy, to keep a church impacting culture, impacting lostness. So talk to us a little bit about the role of the pastor in doing this, and in your field, where you're a professor, the educational side of this, the discipleship that has to take place in order for this to occur.
Oh, yeah. So, again, back to just developing and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, and Paul gives us clarity there in Ephesians 4. What is the purpose of this? Part of the purpose of this is to mature the saints, right? In order that they would be affirmed and cemented in their doctrine, not tossed to and fro, so that the church is now stable and it's now healthy doctrinally. We can't see our churches changed and revitalized, frankly, until there's a right understanding of God, His Word, and His revelation. So we start there. That's central to what we do. And then even from a discipleship standpoint, as we're equipping the saints and we're growing them up in their faith, and we're developing, helping them develop their understanding of right doctrine, that's got to be heavily intentional. I find at times, I don't want to be overly generalized, at times many of our folks who've been in the church for decades, a generation or more, have a very shallow understanding of Scripture. They've got the basics, but we need to be intentional about driving them to doctrinal understanding. We need to begin to create, and part of our discipleship processes, we've got to create mechanisms and outlets to teach how do you rightly interpret the Old Testament? How do you see Christ as the main character, if you will, in a Christocentric hermeneutic? How do you equip your people for that? How do you rightly take what we see, again, back in the book of Acts, for example, in the early church and the epistles? How do we play that out in the life of the church? We teach our people these things. How do we help moms and dads be primary disciplers of their children and remind moms and dads, Christian moms and dads, it's our responsibility as the church to partner with you and equip you. But at the end of the day, you are the disciplers with your children. You will be held accountable. So when we talk about discipleship and maturation, for the church to flourish and be healthy, we need maturing disciples in the local church. And we've got to work hard at that. And what I'd want to say to all pastors, and particularly lead pastors, senior pastors, you are responsible.
Yes.
For the discipleship, the educational ministry, and the life of the church. Yes, you're going to have fellow pastors who will lead and serve in those areas, perhaps if you're a larger church. But I want to say a direct word to lead pastors, senior pastors. You are primarily responsible for making that happen well in the local church. Do not surrender that responsibility. Discipleship certainly is founded and in some ways emanates from the pulpit. So preaching is central to discipleship. It's central because it's catalytic for life transformation. But life transformation ultimately occurs in the context of community. And so pastoral leaders need to be able to package all that together and see a transformation in both leadership and, frankly, discipleship culture in the church.
That's wonderful. The late Harry Pyland, when he was adjunct professor at Southwestern Seminary, of course, Dr. Pyland was known as Mr. Sunday School in Southern Baptist life.
Yeah.
And Dr. Pyland would say the pastor is supposed to be the theologian in residence of his church.
Sure.
Meaning he is responsible for the doctrinal integrity of the church and what's taking place.
Sure.
And as such, doctrinal integrity and theologian in residence, you are the primary discipler of your congregation.
Sure.
And so partnering, like you've said, is exactly the model that pastors need to be thinking through in church revitalization. This has been exciting. Well, man, thank you so much, Dr. Wilder, for your time today, for your insights and your input. I look forward to seeing how God will continue to connect our pastors and our church leaders with Southwestern.
Me too.
And the vision that you guys have over Southwestern for the accomplishment of building up the local church with Christ followers who are kingdom focused and community impacting with the gospel.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today for Rev Talks. If you'd like more information or to explore additional church revitalization resources, visit sbtexas.com/revitalization. That's sbtexas.com/revitalization. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you'll never miss a new edition of Southern Baptists of Texas Convention's Rev Talks.